Good morning, ladies. That song, this last song we just sang, I think like I really felt so, I'm just an emotional person, first of all, but I really felt like such a thing in my heart of when it says that that one day we'll be coming and entering in God's presence as his bride. What an amazing picture of we all have a role to play. The bride can't be made without any, like, without you and without you. If someone is missing here, the bride can't be complete. And I think it's such an amazing picture that God gives us of unity as a body, that we all have something to give. We all have something to contribute. So just be mindful of that, that every time we are together in this context, that we all have something to give. And I'm going to be sharing on Hannah. In 1 Samuel, I want to read part of the first chapter. And I think this woman is amazing. Her attitude, her way of facing life, her way of standing in her faith alone was something that really challenged me. And it says, now, from verse 3 in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now this man used to go up year by year from the city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Anna, he gave her double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And a rival used to provoke her and griefully to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year, and as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more than to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and will remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I'll give him to you. I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor not strong drink, but I have pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. So I want to go back to a few verses. So Elkanah had two wives. One could have children, the other one couldn't. And the wife that could have children, Penina, she was very, she liked to provoke Hannah. And Hannah wept. She really just wanted to have a child. So it says in verse 5 that her husband gave Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And in verse 8 it says, "Why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" So in one side, I believe she has two voices in her head. One is Penina, that is, she's frustrating her, she's making her anxious, she's provoking her all the time. And that could be something that I felt in my heart, that could be culture, could be something putting pressure on you, on us this morning. And then on the other side, she had her husband telling her, "I love you. Am I not more than all these kids that you would like to have? Am I not enough?" And both of them are not enough. She couldn't build on any of it. She couldn't build in what she was feeling. She couldn't be building on her being anxious about something and the desires that were not being granted from God to her. And she couldn't build on her husband's love, because that will also not, it could last, but it's not God. It will not be the all-powerful God that we know. And I really believe that God wants to put that in our hearts today. As a question that I felt in my heart is, what are we building on today? Are we building on something that's going to change with time, with situations, or are we building on God alone? And in verse 9 first, it says that after they had eaten, Hannah rose. She stood up. And that for me is such an amazing, it's a radical act that she did. She didn't stay complacent in her own, she was not passive in her faith. She stood up. She became active in her faith. And in verse 18, after she prayed, nothing had changed. Nothing had changed. But her face was no longer sad. So she knew the God that she had prayed to. Nothing had changed for her, but her heart had changed. Her facial expression had changed. So when she rose, she took action. She took charge of her situation. She prayed. She stood up. And that's what I would like to challenge us today, is that in whatever situation we may be in, that we stand up, that we take charge. And Hannah was weeping, and she was being provoked every time that she saw this woman. But she took charge, and she put everything, she trusted God with all her heart, bringing all her things to Him. So what are we needing today to take charge and to stop being passive in our faith? She wasn't in verse 9, when she starts pouring her heart to God, it was from a place that she was weak, she was vulnerable. She was not trying to bargain with God. She knew who God was. And she knew that her heart was honest and was vulnerable before Him. She didn't wait for the results to change her attitude. But what changed is that she really wanted her son to herself in the beginning. But her heart changed and she wanted to give it to God. She wanted it now for God and not for her anymore. And how many times do the desires of our hearts are actually for us, for our own benefit, but we don't have the bigger picture of what's kingdom being impacted and what's that going to change in God, in God's eyes, and God is going to use it to impact other people's lives through us. when she changes her expression, in some part, some other version of the Bible says that her face was no longer downcast. And I really believe in my heart that she experienced such freedom there. She was holding on to this thing that she really wanted. And because nothing still happened, and that for me is what is life-changing in my heart, is that doesn't matter what the outcome of my prayer is, nothing changed. But God, He heard me. He knew, and He knows better than anything I could want or desire in my heart. So she experienced that freedom. And only God had the power now in her life. Not the other wife, not her husband. She didn't give that power to anyone else to change her life and to make her feel down. But she could just, it was a shift there. Only God had that power now. And for me, when I was preparing, I always try my best to challenge myself with what God is telling me first. And God reminded me of Job 38. And when Job is busy, he went through so much. He suffered so much. And something that I don't understand. But I do sometimes find myself on his shoes in this part. He's questioning God. Why on earth am I going through this? And God says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. And I think, like, I don't think God is trying to be funny, but I really find such a sense of humor because I feel like God will speak to me like that. I'm like, God, why are you not answering my prayer? Why are you letting me go through this? And I'm sure God is looking to me like, my child, surely you know better than me. And he will just laugh at me, like, what? You don't even know what you're asking. And I know that what Anna experienced, it was given to us freely because of Jesus. That freedom that she could step in and let go of the desires of her own heart. She could just let go of them. And she could be in a place like how Job was here. She could be complaining and moaning about what she was going through, but she didn't even question. She prayed, she poured her heart out to him, and she didn't know the result of it. She didn't know the outcome of it, but she knew she could trust him. She knew it was no longer in her hands. And how many times do we come to God's presence and we still walk away frustrated because we're still trying to get hold of that thing that we're just trying to let go? But she literally, she's such an amazing example because she did just leave it there and her face changed. I was listening to this podcast. Tim Keller was speaking on Job and he said this example that just stayed in my mind for long. That a scientist that built a rocket, he built a rocket and a seven-year-old is looking at his rocket and say, that will never take off. That's too heavy, the seven-year-old is telling the scientist. And the scientist looks at the boy and just thinks, like, is it even worth it to argue with him? You know, just sit and watch. And I really feel that somehow God wants to do that with us today. Not that he doesn't care about the desires of our heart. But sometimes we praying and fighting for things so hard that we do not understand. And the scientists could have the biggest argument. God could try to have the biggest argument with us. But independently of the outcome of our prayer, we know that He's good and He's all powerful and He's holding us in His hand. God knows better. Anna stepped into that freedom. Her face was no longer downcast. And if we are bold enough today, even without knowing the outcome of our prayer and what we're really trusting for, can we just trust that He's all-powerful and He knows way better than us? So the three questions that I had for us today, is that what are we building our life on? As Hannah was an example here, she had someone making her upset and someone making her feel loved. But she chose to build in what God had for her, in her faith alone in God. And are we going to stand up and take charge and be active in our faith, or will we carry on being passive and weeping and trying to get away with what we really want to do? And are you ready to step into the freedom that God has for you? Doesn't matter the outcome of what we're praying. Doesn't matter what the outcome of what are we trusting today. Are we ready to step into that freedom? God, sometimes we treat him like an assistant. He must answer all the time. He must be there, or someone that we're quite familiar with. It becomes like we take him for granted. Answer now. I'm talking to you right now. Please speak to me. I want it, you know? I have a 2-year-old girl and she's very emotional. And when she wants something, she wants something. And so many times, I can blame the fact that she's a toddler, but I do that with God. I want it. Can't you hear me? And surely God is looking and saying, I know way better. And I have my perfect timing and I'm looking after you. And so easily we lose sight of that. So what are we building on? And what are we going to do? What we need to change today to stand up and take charge? And are we going to be in a place that doesn't matter the outcome, but we're going to trust him? We're going to let go of those things and trust him completely. And that for me was something amazing, that what Zelda was doing when she was leading now, that she said, arise, stand up. That was Hannah's attitude. I can either sit here and sulk and be upset because God is not giving me what I want, but I can stand up and take hold of what God has for me, even if that doesn't look like what I really wanted. Thank you.